I miss the earth so much. I miss my wife.
Wife.
It's lonely out in space. You're listening to Stagger Cast, brought to you by Stagger Gear.
On such a time, less flight.
Get some. Go ahead.
And I think it's gonna be a long, long time till touchdown brings me round again to find I'm not the man they think I am at home. Oh, no, no, no. I'm a rocket man.
Yeah.
Rocket man. Burning out his fuse out here alone.
Oh, good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Stagger Cast.
Welcome back.
Hell yeah. Sorry for no podcast last week.
We are back. Yeah, it's been a lot of shit's happened in the last 2 weeks.
We were in a Hurt Locker, Pain Cave.
It's been a minute. It's been, a couple weeks since we recorded, but...
I told you last podcast I saw Rocket Man, you know, wandering around in the back while we were recording.
Who was that?
I saw Rocket Man wandering around the back when we were recording last week. And I said, he's here. He's going to come out.
Oh, I got you now. Yeah, no.
Oh, man.
Thank you. Thanks for tuning in, guys. It's been, like I said, it's been a while. We've been hunting. We've been working. Been getting stuff done and having a good time. Season's just getting kicked off now. Well, we were talking. I mean, I know the season's rolling in other states, but us screenplaters, deer season doesn't start till this weekend.
I know.
It's like the switch hasn't even flipped yet.
I know. And anything you do prior to this weekend is kind of a bonus for the old Vermonters. So.
Yep. Yeah,
we've had a good few weeks right now.
Yeah,
so.
It's been good. We've been getting it done for
Where'd
sure.
We left off last time with we were talking about Ansel's bear.
We did a deer camp / hunt update, right? Was that hunting update 2 or 3? You want to pull that up?
Yeah, I think it was 3.
All right, we'll go. I can't remember.
We thought it was a dry sow, but it was a wet boar.
It was a wet boar.
Yeah. He ended up getting a wet boar. Then we rolled right into muzzleloader doe, which we'll hit on. I'll hit on my hunt quickly. I saw does and fawns, and I didn't want to shoot the doe with the fawn. That's so fair. That was pretty much the extent of mine.
Got a doe just before Wuhan even started, though.
Yeah, so I did, and I really didn't want to shoot one with a fawn because where I hunt, it's kind of rare to see does with fawns. So I'm like, I don't want to discourage the ones that are succeeding, like from breeding more, you know. So didn't do that, but got some good footage anyways. But you and Grant had a hell of a time.
Didn't you too that morning during that muzzle? You saw 2 bucks that morning, right? With the muzzleloader in your hand.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, you saw 2 bucks with a muzzleloader in your hand, which you can't in Vermont. For people that don't know, Vermont, for 4-day doe season, you can only shoot does in certain zones.
Does that count as passing up a 4-pointer?
Sure.
I'm going to count it.
I think so. Why not?
Yeah. No, that's always the way with that early season. I think every year I've at least seen a buck that I could have shot. But
and you always hear from people, too, that are like, I freaking went out for the doe season with muzzleloader, and I saw a big rack buck right in front of me. It's the way it goes.
Yeah, last year, as I was going down in the woods, a big, big old rack buck ran through the field and stood there and looked at me for a while. And it was pretty cool.
They know. It's the way it goes. But, yeah, no. So that's pretty much where we left off.
Yeah, so you and Grant had a really good hunt. We had a little, we were trying to predict. We said we were going to get 2 out of 3 does.
Yeah, what did we predict? I might have to pull that and clip that from the last podcast.
We said we're going to get 2 out of 3 of us are going to get does.
For the Wuhan tags.
Yep. And we said we predicted 2 bucks for Maine.
For the first week. We almost delivered on
that. We almost delivered. Yeah. So... but we might as well start with the doe hunts. Yeah. I mean, you had a pretty cool hunt.
Yeah, they're pretty quick and honestly not too hard of hunts. But we had doe tags for up in Unit B in Vermont, which is like Franklin County, and have permission on some land up there. And it's mostly like fields and kind of mixed woods, sugar woods and stuff up there. Get up there on Thursday night because that's when it opened up. And I'm like, I'm going to go sit in the field across the road. This is a huge, huge field, and there's kind of like a ridge up behind it that kind of tapers down into it. And I was looking across the field, and I've always wondered, I always thought it was like a, because I do a lot of sugar, and there's like a little shed thing on the edge of the field there.
Yep.
And I always thought it was like a pump house for maple syrup stuff.
Yep.
And I was talking to Dan, who owns the land. I'm like, oh, I'm going to go sit by the pump house or whatever. He's like, yeah, go for it. So I hike all the way out across the field there, and I get over to what I thought was a pump house, and it's just like this old freaking rundown shed looking thing, tiny little thing.
Yeah.
Open it up. It's a freaking shooting shack.
No way.
That someone had. Open it up. There's mice nest about halfway up your shin. Just freaking nasty in there. There's hornet's nest in there. Old kerosene heater that's like tipped over. There's an office chair in there.
How cool is that?
I was like,
no
shit. Okay. And I'm sitting there. I was like, I kind of feel weird sitting in someone's blind, but like clearly no one's been in this. There's a freaking little like poplar sapling growing up in front of the door that I had to chop down just to get the door open because it hadn't been used so long.
Yeah.
I'm like, and it was starting to rain. I'm like, I'm going to sit on the outside of it, but it's because it's like in the perfect spot in this field corner.
Yep.
And they're like, you know what? I'm going to tough it out. I'm going to get in that freaking thing. I'm going to fight off the mice and the hornets and I'm going to shoot a doe.
Yeah.
Get in there. As soon as I get in there, there's a freaking hornet's nest about the size of a softball. Luckily, it's cold out. So, you know, when the bees, when it gets cold, they're kind of like inactive, but they're like crawling around.
Oh, yeah.
They heard me in there. They start coming out. They're coming slow. So I take out my nice walker knife and I'm fighting off the hornets for about the first half an hour. They kept trickling out of this hornet's nest. I'm chopping them as they come. They aren't happy I'm in there, but it's too cold and they're all lethargic. They can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
So wiped out a hornet colony. Didn't want to do it, but I had to do it. Freaking sitting there, I'm shuffling my feet around. I don't even know what this is. It's like a bag that's got some shit in it. I don't even know what it is. Full of like mouse nest. I'm shaking out. I hear a mouse fly out of there.
Oh no.
Luckily it didn't climb up my leg. I almost shot the muzzleloader off at the floor just to defend myself. No, I'm just fucking with you. But yeah, there's freaking mice running around, but I'm like, all right, this is gonna work because it's starting to rain pretty good and it's gonna keep me dry. So I toughed it out through there. Sit there for probably an hour just hanging out. Right to my left at about like 30 yards, I see a deer kick out, kind of just feeding right along the edge of the field, and then another one comes out, and then a skipper comes out. So we got two does and a skipper right to my left at 30 yards. And I'm kind of facing straight out, and they're like directly to my left, so I can't shoot them. I'm just like kind of like tipped forward in that little blind, waiting for them to come out. They probably fed for 20 minutes before they actually came into a spot where I could get a shot. And about 35 yards, both of those does came out. The skipper kind of stayed in the back, and I picked the biggest one. She's kind of quartering two, and let the woodman eat right on her front shoulder there.
Yeah.
I was expecting her to pile up because, you know, those like semi-quarter and two shots where you're kind of aiming directly into the shoulder right there and kind of blowing out the other side. Usually you just pancake them right there.
Yeah.
I shot, freaking smoke everywhere. Knew I hit her immediately, by the way. She kind of like bucked up and then she ran right back into the woods where they came. And I was like, huh, was expecting her to drop a 225 grain star tip woodman bullet. Usually going to flatten them right there.
Yeah.
Gave her probably 30 minutes, walked out there, and immediately right where I hit her, there's just blood everywhere. Mm-hmm. Which, for people that listen to the podcast know, I don't have the best luck with muzzleloaders. When I hit one with a muzzleloader, they just seem to not bleed. I feel I usually kill them, but they don't bleed.
Well, just to add on to that, like, we were shooting the other day. It got really wet, so we shot both muzzleloaders at a pumpkin. Mm-hmm. You hit a pumpkin with a muzzleloader, it just kind of puts a hole in it. Mm-hmm. You hit that same pumpkin with a rifle, the whole you're explodes. Having pumpkin pie for dinner.
It's a lot more kinetic energy than a rifle.
So, anyway, sorry.
But yeah, no. So I gave her 20 minutes, went out there, blood everywhere immediately. I'm like, okay, great.
Yep.
Hit Grant on the radio because Grant's across the road up in another field way off. He's probably 500-600 yards away the crow flies from me in a different on a different field edge. I'm like, I just hit one. I'm going to see where she went. Good luck. So I get out there, literally follow it just inside the wood line. She probably went 20 yards from where I shot her. She's dead right in a ditch right there.
Nice.
Big old doe. Biggest doe I've ever shot.
Yeah.
We should have waited. Big. We were guessing 130. And then long story short, Grant took it to the butcher for me and he hung it up next to a hundred, like a verified 130 pound doe. And it made that one look small.
Wow.
So I should have weighed that one.
Oh yeah.
But just a tank doe.
What's the biggest doe you ever got?
132. And it was significantly bigger than that.
Yeah. I got a 144 one time.
140. Was that Winona?
That was Winona Judd, yeah.
Yeah, that was a nice. I remember that doe. That thing was a tank.
I Euro mounted that.
Yeah.
That was Winona.
Man, so yeah, she was dead right there in the wood line. Put my tag on her, and there's probably about 45 minutes of light left. So I'm like, I'm going to head back to the truck. We'll take care of the deer after once Grant gets out of the woods and we get the four-wheeler down there and stuff.
Yep.
So I hike out, get to the truck, and I'm like, I'm going to do a little lap around. Oh, Greg, hang on. Pause. Greg, show me a trail cam picture.
I don't think that's legal, is it?
No, I don't think that's legal.
That's in J2. No.
Boy, he walks in front of the wrong guy. He might get it this weekend.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't shoot that
thing. That's
a dangerous deer. Playing a dangerous game right now. Right out in the open.
Horned up right there. Looking for does.
Anyways,
go back to the truck, and I'm like, you can kind of see the field that Grant's looking in from the road there. So I'm like, I'll take a lap around, see if there's any deer out. Go by his field. I didn't see anything. Right around the corner on the neighbor's property, there's seven doe. Just over the property line. I'm like, and they're kind of going the opposite way. And it's like 30 minutes. I'm like, I don't think they're heading your way, but like maybe. So I kind of spun around. come back around, and they're like, there's this little meadow adjacent to the field that he's heading. There's like a little wood line that separates the meadow from where he is. He's looking into the big field. He's not looking into the meadow. He can't see it where he is.
Yeah.
I go by the meadow, and there's two doe, like probably 30 yards behind where his blind is. I'm like, if you get out of your blind, like you can, there's two doe right there.
No shit.
So he went, he kind of crept around, and he got like 20 yards from him, but he didn't like the shot angle. He didn't feel comfortable taking the shot. So he pulled back a little bit, went around, and then when he went around this little hedgerow to have a better angle, they were gone. He must have got his wind or something. So dark came. We got the four-wheeler, drove out there, got my doe, got it out, got her loaded up, and we headed back home.
Nice.
And it was pouring rain. It was kind of a nasty four-day.
It was. It really was.
It freaking rained. Got her hung up, hung out in Grant's garage for a little while, had a couple beers, a couple White Claws, whatever we were doing there.
Yeah, Grant's into the White Claws hard.
Yeah, he's always in the White Claws.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I don't, it's a good drink.
They're not
drink.
Bad.
It's
they're
a good drink.
Yeah.
Next day, pouring rain, like torrential downpour. Grant still had his tag, and we're like, let's go do a little still hunt up there. Let's go take the drive up there. If we go for an hour, we get soaking wet, whatever. Yeah. At least we tried.
Yep.
Get out of the truck on Friday morning, probably 20 yards when we left the truck, two doe kick up in the woods right by us. He almost got a shot at them, but it just happened too quick.
Yep.
So we kind of still hunted up through it on the edge of a field where some deer usually hang out, kind of get up into this old overgrown orchard. And I'm telling you what, I've never seen so many apples in my life.
Yeah.
Like down where I live, Waterbury, there's been like, it's been a very bad apple year. Very few trees have apples up there. Franklin County, absolutely loaded.
Yep.
So we kind of crept through that whole orchard waiting to see a deer, but there's just so many apples on the ground that they're just sitting there rotting. Like, there's so much food up there for them. They got oaks up there. They got apples. They got fields. They got all that stuff. So they just weren't in that orchard. We crept all the way around, hunted for probably an hour, and then we kind of dropped into this little like funnel, and the deer kind of bed down in there, and we're creeping down this funnel and kind of get on the first bench, and we're just about to go over the edge of that first bench, and Grant's like, oh, I just seen a deer coming right at us, like right over the edge. So we pulled back like 5 yards, get behind a tree, and we sat there and waited for like 10 minutes waiting for this deer to come up over this little bench ledge to us. Sitting there for 10 minutes, all of a sudden something to my left, Grant's kind of looking straight to the right where we thought the deer were coming. I look, something catching my eye to the left. I look, and at like 40 yards there's a nice big spike horn sitting there looking at us. He's locked in on us, but he doesn't know what it is,
because
we're not moving, we're just hanging right by these trees.
Yep.
Just after we see him, all of a sudden you get a flicker, and here come two doe up that little bench right there.
Yep.
And at the time, we were expecting them to come straight up to us, but after the fact, we saw that it's too ledgy right there where they were coming, so there's like this little hole, like 20 yards to our right, that they came up through. And these two doe come up, and we're trying to make sure it's not a spike horn. The spike horn's still there looking at us. We're kind of smack between the spike horn and the two does. The doe he ends up shooting kind of comes right down to him, probably 30, 40 yards, quarter and two, almost frontal.
Wow.
And he freaking popped her.
With your gun.
With my, with the Woodman. And she went zipping down past us down this ledge, saw her kind of go into a thicket, and you see the other doe come out of it, but she didn't.
Yep.
We get over to where he shot, and again, just blood everywhere. Freaking opened her up.
That's freaking awesome.
Went down there,
dude.
And she was stone dead. So we got two doe down in about 12 hours of hunting, and we were happy. That's a good Wuhan season.
Momentum's
right
a good thing, man. Yeah. You guys got those does headed right into our trip to Maine. So that was perfect.
Yeah, that was just, yeah, because then we did that, and then you and I hunted Saturday, New Hampshire.
Yeah.
And then we haven't even talked about that.
So that led into New Hampshire. And then we had pretty much one day to hunt New Hampshire because we were getting ready the following day to head to Maine. But basically we did the identical plan that we did last year and had a hell of a hunt. As far as I'm concerned, I did some sitting that morning and I had a doe come right by me.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
You were sitting. My plan was I was
in my little bowl there. I like to sit in.
Yeah, and kind of the plan beforehand, you said you should go sit by this scrape for like get there just before dark and sit there for probably 30 minutes.
Whoa, wait, let's back up a touch.
Oh,
let's back up a touch.
Yeah.
You were there. You were at my house so freaking early.
Yeah.
And we got there because this place does get hunted, so we wanted to make sure we were
trying to get
there.
In so we could, if people
coming
in at daylight, we're going to bump them up to us.
So we get there. And when we first got to my house that morning, you came in the garage, oh shit, something just dripped right into my breech plug. He goes, you were worried about your breech plug. So you had it unscrewed. You made sure your powder was dry. You screwed it back in.
Yep.
We headed to the spot. We get to the spot. It's like 2 hours before light. You go to put your cap in. Thing won't shut.
It'll shut without the, Because I tested it. It shot without the cap in it. Yeah, no problem at all.
So you're like, oh, crap. So you had to drive all the way back to my house.
Yeah.
Which, like,
almost 40 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I had to drive all the way back to my house, get the tool, tighten the breech plug down, then come all the way back. Meanwhile, I'm going up the mountain in the pitch black dark. I get set up an hour and a half for shooting light. Just sitting up there, friggin' froze to death by the time it finally got light.
Yeah, I got back. Oh, it took me probably 10 minutes to get that muzzleloader friggin' secured.
Yeah.
Because those breech plugs on those things are a little finicky. If you don't have them down perfect, then they
won't. Especially if they got powder in there already and you're trying to tighten down. Yeah,
you're fighting the pressure of that. And then I still got back, got in the woods, and got to the scrape that you told me to sit on.
Way before daylight?
Well, I would say way before daylight, but probably a good 15 minutes before daylight, so I was fine.
Yeah, you were good. And nobody was hunting there, really, either. So.
No, I didn't see anybody that morning, surprisingly.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So, anyways, you had a good still hunt that morning.
Yeah, so you were sitting, and then it was raining.
Yep.
Raining pretty good.
Yep.
So, I sat on that scrape that Greg told me to go sit on for probably 30 minutes. Kind of a thick little shithole right there, though. There's, like, one spot. Yeah. It's, like, a little bench where the scrape's on. You can't really see much around you, but if something was coming down to that scrape, you'd hear them coming.
Yep. It's a little staging area. There's, like, some ag down below.
Yeah.
And I think that's like the last place they stage before they go down into the fields and stuff at night. So it's a great scrape.
Huge scrape. But it's about the size of a car hood.
I used to have a camera there. Unfortunately, I can't anymore because I don't have written permission. So we're just kind of guessing now. But anyways.
Camera laws, yeah.
Yeah.
So I sat there and then I'm like, I'm just going to kind of still hunt up the side of this ridge. There's oaks all up through here and just kind of puttering up through. And I'm seeing all sorts of buck sign. There's scrapes everywhere. There was rubs everywhere. There's this one little bench I went up on, and there was 15 different buck rubs on this bench.
Wow.
Just every tree was mauled. Like, yep. I don't know what – you should probably – if we can ever get a camera again in there, if you ever get permission, that'd be a hell of a spot to put a camera.
Yep.
Hunted up through there. Didn't see anything. I was kind of grunting and just going real slow, making sure I was taking my time, seeing everything. It's kind of thicker woods, but there's, like, little open spots where you can kind of see into some oaks and stuff.
Yep.
Get up into this little bowl. And as soon as I get up in this bowl, I see a top of a deer's back on like 30 yards from me. And I'm kind of like on one of those little like hogback ridges there. And I can just see the top of a deer's back walking along that like their other little ridge that's like 30 yards away from me.
Yep.
I'm all excited. Guns up. Flick the safety off. She comes up. She's big old slick head. And she kind of hung out there, was eating oaks and stuff, or eating acorns. Kind of worked off. And the last place I saw her, she was headed directly to you. Like, I couldn't draw a straighter line to you.
Yeah.
She's heading right towards Greg. I'm like, okay, cool. Maybe
how many yards away were you from me? 400, 500?
Probably 500 yards. Yep. Yeah. And she was kind of up on the crest of the ridge, and you're kind of sitting down off the other side of it.
Yep.
But she's headed right towards us. I'm like, oh, maybe she'll pick up a buck and head right towards Greg. Left her, and I probably went another 200 yards, kind of creeping up around this bowl, get up above the bowl, and I'm kind of on like a transition between some hardwoods and some softwoods. Going real slow, and I just see the outline, what looks like an outline of a deer stop. And sure enough, I pull the scope up like 60 yards. Big old doe sitting there feeding in the acorns.
Wow.
And then I see a little bit of movement off to the left. I'm like, oh, okay. No. Look, another doe.
Wow.
So they're kind of just feeding around. And they end up coming down like 20 yards from me. Got really good footage.
Yep.
They fed right in front of me and then fed right around me to my left. Had no idea I was there.
Yep.
So just a good still hunt day, and I continued up the mountain, get up on top, saw more buck sign, didn't run any bucks, and then worked my way over to you.
And that was the day. You ended up going back because work was so busy.
Yeah, I worked till noon that day.
Yep, and I went back out that day, and I sat low, and I got into some wicked acorns, and I got on this little knob, perfect little knob that there were scrapes everywhere, acorns everywhere, and I sat there, and right before dark, to my right, here comes this doe feeding up the ridge. And she was eating acorns. You could hear her cracking right into them. Mm-hmm. And so I watched her for a little bit. She fed away. Then I looked down, and there's another deer looking right at me. Probably picked me off. And it looked there for a while, and then it kind of did the same thing the doe did. Didn't blow out of there. And I assumed that was a doe. I put the scope on it. It was a doe. Well, when I was looking at the footage later that night, it had little spikes on it.
Oh, really?
I wouldn't have shot it anyway because just being the first day and everything. But so that was the first day. So we each saw three deer. That was a good day.
Yeah, it's a good day.
The next day, I mean, you pretty much worked a 20-hour day. We were supposed to head to Maine together that
Sunday
morning.
First thing in the morning, we were going to head up to Maine, check some cameras, move the food in.
Move the food in. Wait, Grant had to move all the food in by himself.
Yeah, he was up there well before us.
Yeah, poor guy. So the next day, I was like, New Hampshire is so hot right now. I'm going back over there. Mm. So I sat in the morning, didn't see nothing. I found this beautiful little sitting spot that I nicknamed Chaga Tree.
Chaga tree?
It's right by where you shot your buck last year.
Is there a tree with a bunch of chaga?
It's a birch tree, but it's like a perfect seat. Oh, so really? I sat there, and there's chaga all over it. It's kind of cool. There's a little mouse that lives underneath it. I got some good video. He's just running around the whole time I'm there. I like mice if they're out. If they're in my house, I got a problem with them. But, so I did that morning. I came back. I got packed. I was going to head to Maine, but my wife's like, oh, I haven't made the macaroni yet or anything. And I'm like, well, I'm going to go hunt New Hampshire. I'll be back after dark, and then I'll head to Maine. So I went back to New Hampshire, and I had a hell of a strategy. I said, I'm going to do a piss drag all the way into that little knob. And when I get to the knob, it's perfect wind. Everything's going to be perfect. So I probably laid about $30 worth of piss down, dragging it in there, being meticulous all the way in, going through every scrape, putting urine in every scrape. I get up on the knob. I'm sitting there. I'm like, this is going to happen tonight. I look up to my right. There's a guy in a saddle about 40 yards away looking at me, waving. I was like, oh, and there's no rigs parked anywhere. I don't know where the hell he came from. Huh. But I just look at him. He looks at me. I wave, and I just kind of.
You just gave him a $30 send drag right to the base of his tree.
Oh, yeah. I tucked tail and got the hell out of there. Sat somewhere else that night. But I was like, man, I really set him up. But I never heard a shot. So
yeah.
So that was it for New Hampshire. Got home. Got everything packed. I don't think I headed out till.
Geez, you were pretty late, too. I mean, I was real late, but you were. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't get up to camp till probably 9:30, 10 o'clock that night.
Yeah.
Got everything moved in. I don't think I got to bed till 11-ish. And what time did you get up there?
I left my place around 8:30-ish, and I think I got up to camp a little after midnight. I just had a crazy busy day Sunday getting everything ready down in the shop so the part-timers can so the help can take over and do orders and all that stuff while I'm gone so I can kind of escape. But I just had to make sure everything was done properly, tagged, bagged, everything ready to roll.
Yeah, how many deer did you see that night going up?
Oh, what did I see? I'm trying to remember. I saw a bunch.
23 I saw.
I think I saw like 16 and 3 bucks.
Yep.
Most of them are in Rangeley, though.
Yeah.
Rangeley's got some freaking town deer. It's so fun
That bank right in Rangeley, if you go through there at night, you're going to see a buck. There's always a buck in that park, in that bank parking lot at night. I don't know what to feed them right there. But.
Yeah, they're always right there. Right past the bank there, there's like a house that had a bunch of Halloween decorations, and I was driving through.
Yep.
Just about to make the turn, and it caught my eye. I thought it was a Halloween decoration. I look, and there's a doe. Like amidst the Halloween decorations, just eating grass on the lawn.
Jesus. Like,
But yeah, I saw 3 bucks, one real nice one that night, just before Rangeley, and then two in town, little scrubhorn ones, but always cool to see them.
I never even heard you come in that night. I'm in a little nook
in the back. Tucked away in the back. I did almost smack one moose between Wilson's Mills and Rangeley on that strip where it's always feels dangerous right there.
Okay.
Coming before Horizon, she was right on the yellow line, so luckily.
Yep.
Didn't hit her, and she kind of ran down the road for probably about a half a mile.
Yep.
And before she finally, they love doing that shit.
Oh, yeah.
They'll get on the road, and they'll just run on the road for forever long, and then they'll just decide to hop in the worst spot somewhere.
This looks so gangly and shit.
It's they're funny looking.
Like they could break a hip easy, which is foreshadowing something else to happen. But so anyways, we both were on like 3-4 hours sleep at the most.
Yeah.
Got up next morning. We're all fired up. I got this scrape that it's kind of like a community scrape I've been keeping an eye on, never really put a lot of time into it. Mm-hmm. But this year I have built a little ground blind in there. And that was my strategy coming into this week was I'm going to put the whole week into that ground blind until we have track and snow.
That was the plan.
Yeah. So I got in there Monday, and my Monday was basically 11 hours straight of sitting and seeing one red squirrel.
That's a bad day.
Did you have a better day than me Monday?
Yeah, I had a better day than you Monday for sure. I was doing some walking around, but like it was pretty crunchy. That Monday, it was not quiet at all. Kind of all the leaves had dried at that point. It rained through the weekend, and then probably Sunday, midday, it stopped, and the wind was blowing, so it dried everything out, and it was crunchier than hell. And I kind of had a plan where I was going to hunt up the side of this mountain kind of towards you, not like get that close to you by any means, but just kind of hunt that direction and see what's going on the side of that mountain. And if I did happen to kick something to you, it might go your way, but nothing too crazy.
Yep.
Hunted the whole side of that mountain, saw one scrape, was kind of disappointed. I was surprised, honestly.
Yeah.
Dropped lower, checked a few non-cell cameras we had kind of as I was still hunting down through this bottom by this river, had some good pictures of bucks. And you had a couple pictures of bucks.
Oh yeah, too. I didn't even say like when I got to the scrape. So we had been up there when we did the True North podcast. It'd been like a week and a half, 2 weeks.
Yeah,
I had one picture in my camera in that time, and it was just some gargantuan buck we'd never even seen
before.
Giant
8-pointer, right?
Just strutting through.
Yeah.
So it gave me a little hope, but the bucks that we had targeted had not been there at all.
Yep.
So
and I I checked those cameras down low, and again, not a lot of pictures,
yep.
but good bucks. A couple of the target bucks that we had yep. were on them
yep.
from, a week before that, just about, probably.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's cool, but it just, that area seemed to dry up a little bit this year. So, yeah. I kind of still hunted all the way through that bottom, went up on the other side because it kind of drops into a bottom and then goes up on a mountain on the other side. There's some cuts up there. Looked around. There is some does up there, but no bucks.
Yep.
Hunted all the way down through, and I'm like, I'm going to drop into this swamp where I think some of these bucks that we're chasing up there are living.
Yep.
Dropped in the swamp. Sure enough, I get in there, and there's freaking scrape lines everywhere, big tracks, some rubs and stuff. I'm like, great, I'm going to still hunt through here. And it's kind of mixed. Like, it's open swampiness, and then it goes into, like, some really thick crap yep. that you, like, it's impenetrable, and then opens back up. Beautiful stuff. So the first part, I'm kind of creeping through that, trying to be quiet. Real tough, grunting my whole way through there. Eventually, it gets to the point where it's a real bad stand of timber down through there, real thick. And the only way to get through it is going to the river.
Yep.
So, and I don't really want to. And it's like, I don't know, probably what, a 15-foot wide brook.
Yeah.
It's not crazy big.
But there's some deep spots.
There are some deep spots, yep. but most of it's about, I'd say, shin deep.
Yep.
I'm like, I'm just going to suck it up. I had my boots, gaiters on there, and all about shin deep to knee deep, most of it is. But I'm like, I'm going to get wet, but it's the only way to get through this swamp and still hunt it
yep.
quietly. So I hop in the river, and I'm just creeping down through the river, grunting and stuff, just keeping eyes up on the banks here. Because it's kind of like, it's like a floodplain down there where it's flat, but there's like these little rises where like you could catch a buck if he's bedded on that.
Yep.
Up on one of them. Hunted all the way through that. Probably about what? How long do you think that is? 700-800 yards?
Yeah. Yeah.
All the way down through there. And then I'm like, all right, I'm going to pop out of this river and kind of start going back up towards where I started.
Mm-hmm.
And I went up on the mountain that morning, but like there's a, I don't know, it's kind of like rolling little funnels before it drops into that swamp.
Yep.
Good still hunting through there. So I pop out of that and start going up through one of these funnels, and I'm about halfway up this funnel where we've had pictures. We have some non-cell cameras in there, and I had bucks in there in the past.
Yep.
And I'm about halfway up this funnel, and I look up the bank a little bit from me, and under these two fir trees, just two huge scrapes that fresh. Look fresh. And yeah. I'm like, oh, boy.
Yeah.
Boy, that's a good thing. And I was going right up for this. I was going to go right up through this funnel. But those caught my eyes. I'm like, I'm going to go check these out. So yeah. I go up there, and sure enough, big old scrapes, fresh from within the last 24 hours, just mauled. I'm like, all right. And then right up above them, it flattens right out on a bench that kind of looks down into that funnel that I was coming up.
Yep.
Get up onto that bench, looking around, beautiful woods. It's honestly some of the nicer woods I've seen in Maine because it's not cut to hell.
Yeah.
As soon as I crest that bench and I'm just grunting, walking real slow, looking down in that funnel, I hear something take off. And you know when you immediately hear a deer take off, it's like it's a certain sound. Oh, you yeah. know immediately what it is.
Yeah.
So the deer was taking off to my sound. I couldn't see him, but I just hear it. And it's going up that funnel. So I kind of sprint like 8 feet to look into this funnel, and I can't see it, but I can hear the deer, and it's kind of thick down in the hole. Then all of a sudden, I see a flag pop up behind this blowdown. I just see that first, and it's probably 60 yards, and then it goes behind a wall of shit again.
Yep.
And then I get the gun up, and I'm looking, trying to find him, and then right as I get it up, he's going through this the one hole there is, and it's just a freaking wicked rack buck.
Just a monster.
Just I didn't have any chance for a shot, and he went zipped right up the funnel and was out of my life.
And we reviewed that footage, and you could see the deer clearly
yeah,
in the footage.
Yeah, wicked buck.
Oh,
wicked
man.
Rack. So I was pretty bummed about that, but I'm like, and he was going.
You weren't even like, you like lost your voice that night, because when I came to my truck, you were sitting in my truck.
I was bummed a little bit about
that. And you
were
like, you had like lost your, I don't know if you just overdid just that
no,
day or
no
what.
No sleep and hiking around all day, and I was pretty cold too, because I dressed that day for still hunting.
Yeah.
And walking around all day. So I dressed pretty light, and it got cold at the end of the day.
It did. It did.
But after I kicked that deer up, he was kind of going towards my truck, and I'm like, I don't want to go any farther that way with as noisy it is.
Yeah.
I'm just going to send this buck to a whole nother area code.
Yeah.
So I put the brakes on. I found a good sitting spot right there that looks into that funnel. I'm like, I'm just going to put some piss out. I'm going to do some calling
yep.
and see if he comes back down through before dark. And this was at probably 2:00.
That's all you can do.
And my freaking pants and boots are full of water all the way up to my knees because yeah. I just crept through the whole river. I was just going to go to that river, hunt up through that funnel, go back to the truck, change, and then finish out my day somewhere. So I yeah. got soaked pants, soaked boots, 2:00, and the temperature's dropping. I froze my ass off for about 2 hours sitting there, and then I worked my way back towards you.
We joked that night because Grant said, Jesus Christ, you're hard as F. He goes, you freaking get right in the river. You're so...
No way to stay quiet.
I was like, yeah. I said, I was in my blind all toasty, but I wanted to like be brothers with him, so I poured my Gatorade down my boots just so I'd know how he felt. Meanwhile, I'm in my blind. I got peppermint patties. I got PB&Js. I got hot coffee. I got a blankie that's covering me.
Yeah, you brought a blanket in with you.
I brought a nice blankie.
Just bored out of your mind, though.
Just bored. No service. Not a bit of service. I was satellite texting some people.
Oh, yeah. You can do that on your phone. You got one of the newer ones.
Reviewing all last 3 years of every buck that's ever been by that scrape. Just looking at this, studying those pictures over and over.
How they're stepping, how they're walking, where they're coming from.
Yeah. So GoPro's out every orifice of the blind. So anyways, we met at the truck. That was night one.
Yeah, I was bummed when I got back to the truck.
We got this other spot that we really scout hard, and we always hunt hard, and we never get anything out of it. But there's wicked scrape lines, so we put Grant
always bucks
in
there.
And Grant went out there, and basically, long story short, it's a nightmare to get to.
He saw deer, though, that day.
He did. He jumped some deer, but he decided that was a lot of freaking walking.
It's brutal to get out there.
Yeah, so he's like, yeah, that's a one and done for me in there. So so that leads into day two. We got some rain that night. Mm-hmm. So it turned the woods from crunchy to silent, and me and you had a plan that we were going to hunt towards each other. We're going to go back in the same area kind of to hunt towards each other.
The conditions were too good not to still hunt. I know your whole plan was to sit in the blind that whole entire week, and I was kind of going to do still hunting. But with the conditions, it was pouring rain, and the wind was blowing about Mach 7. If you guys were hunting the first week, I think it was Tuesday?
Tuesday.
Yeah, Tuesday.
Yep.
That Tuesday, the wind was insane.
It was a killing day if you could. And actually, I had a tree fall right in front of me, and I got it on video, like a big tree.
Big widowmaker, huh?
Oh, my God. It sounded like a freaking gunshot going off when that thing snapped. So.
Oh, yeah. The trees were falling that day. You could hear them popping off in the distance stuff. Crazy.
But basically, pretty uneventful other than we hunted towards each other.
Yeah, you kind of went down and towards that swamp where I hunted the day before where all that buck sign was, and I came in where I came in the day before, and we kind of just still hunted to each other. Yep. All those funnels is on the edge of that swamp in the buck sign, but just didn't run into a deer that day.
We kind of found each other down in the heart of the swamp.
Yep.
And then I decided I was going to strike off for some new territory.
Yeah, you were going to go up on the mountain on the other side there.
Yeah, check out. There was some cutting up there. So I went up through there and ended up seeing a moose. Had a nice hunt. They're definitely in that cut, but it's such a brutal, it's so brutal to get in there. It's unbelievable. So I ended up doing a gigantic loop and coming out soaking wet to my truck with like 2 or 3 hours to go in the day. But you had kind of an eventful day that day.
That was that day, wasn't it?
That was the moose day.
Yeah. So you and I left, and right after you and I split, I kind of start coming up out of this funnel, and I see a big orange pumpkin on the bank up there. Usually there's nobody in there.
Yeah.
There's a dude sitting right on the bank right there.
Yeah.
So I walked by him. He's probably 80 yards up above me.
Yeah.
And I hunted my way back to the truck. Didn't see anything. Got out of there. And I'm like, I'm going to go loop around. I almost thought it was Grant for a minute too, because we knew Grant wasn't going back into the spot the second day. He was kind of just puttering around. And I get up to my truck, and there's a spot of service. So I look on, because we have the whole find friends thing there. Yep. So we can make sure we're all doing the right thing and make sure we're staying safe and distance and stuff. And I see Grant. There's like a spot of service on the road that you get in here. And I see Grant was going through there like 8 minutes before that. And I'm like, oh no shit. Okay. Maybe that was Grant. I just didn't look. I didn't want to look too close. I didn't know who it was. So I drive around, cause we don't have service.
Yep.
And, I get down by where your truck is to see if that was Grant parked there. And it was a guy, there was a white F-150 or something. Mm-hmm. I get there and there's a gun leaning on the front tire. And there was a dude in the passenger seat that was sitting there. His buddy must have been down in the woods. He was sitting in the passenger seat with a gun.
Yep.
So I spun around there. I'm like, oh, all right. Guy in here hunting, parked right next to your rig, whatever. And then
grabbed a Pop-Tart, didn't you?
Grabbed a Pop-Tart.
I got a little snack. Anybody ever goes by my rig, feel free. I got a little black tote.
you got a cooler with vitamin waters. You got a freaking snack tote with candy and freaking Pop-Tarts and crackers and everything else.
It's take one, leave one.
Little food pantry. Anyways, pulled out of there, and then I found Grant parked down the road. He was just going to go up and check an old scrape line that we had marked.
Yep.
Said it was pretty dead up there, and we were going to go up probably about a mile and hunt this mountain. He was going to kind of stay on the lower side of it. I was going to go up right up on the top, and the way the wind was blowing, I was either going to wind bump him or send him right down towards him if I did kick one up.
Yep.
Get in the woods, and immediately, probably about 100 yards in, I see a calf bedded, a calf moose.
Okay.
I'm like, okay, cool. So I kind of creep by it, and she gets up and kind of runs away from me, but like real slow, not that scared, and kind of standing there. And then all of a sudden I see there's another moose kind of bedded behind this clump of crap. And it's like, oh, it's a big cow. Great. Like, they don't know I'm here. The calf wasn't even looking at me anymore. They calmed right down. Mm-hmm. I'm going to sneak right up to him, thinking I'm sneaky, right?
Yep.
Get right up to him about 10 yards. Calf's just feeding around. The cow's laying there. I'm like, wow, I must be a fucking
You're a great hunter.
Ninja. I'm sneaking. Yeah. I'm sneaking. I get up there And as soon as I get up to where I can kind of see over this clump of crap, I see the cow and just not to be like huge pile of shit behind the cow there. Like you could tell it'd been there a while and like all the ground around it was scuffed up, and immediately I'm like, oh God, something's not right here.
Yep.
And then at that point the cow sees me and she tucks her ears back. She's pissed off. I'm probably 10 yards from her. And then the calf kind of like scurries off.
Yep.
And I'm like, uh oh. So I take another step expecting her to get up. Doesn't get up.
Yep.
Long story short, she ended up being injured. At first I thought it was brain worm or something.
Yeah.
But turns out like all the lights were on. She just had
she looked like a beautiful, healthy,
beautiful moose. Cow.
And you have pictures of her.
Yeah,
on the
so I had a non-cell camera about 20 yards away from there on a scrape.
Yeah.
And literally 3 days before that, her and the calf are right there in front of it, hanging out, playing with each other, having a good time, whatever. And just after those last pictures, that was 3 days before that, I was just getting the calf like every day, all day long. So
okay.
We think we don't really know what happened, but she was laid up in a bed right there and couldn't get up. She kept trying to get her front legs under, but could not get her.
You spent like an hour, didn't you, trying to get her
up? I tried, yeah.
You were propping like sticks under her.
I thought she was stuck in the mud because they were kind of bedded in this like little low, marshy, muddy spot. And I could see where her front leg had like pounded into the marsh, like a big hole. So I'm like, oh, maybe her back leg's just stuck in there. So tried everything I could. At first, I thought she was stuck in the mud. And I get some big ass sticks and I'm trying to like use them as a lever, try to get her up, and she'd get her front legs up. She was pissed at first that I was there. She kept like swinging her head at me, but I'm like, I'm trying to help you.
Yeah.
She eventually kind of got onto that. And every time I'd get the stick underneath her and kind of wedge, I'd get her ass up a little bit. She'd get her front legs up, start going, and then she would just collapse again.
Yeah.
So I tried that for a little while, did everything I could, pushed on her, yanked on her, tried to get her up. She wasn't sick. It was just something wrong with that back leg. More like the rear like right than anything.
Actually broke a hip or broke
something.
A leg.
Yeah, and I'm like, ah, man, I just can't keep doing this. And
you pretty much put half your day of hunting into that, right?
Pretty much. Just trying to see if there's anything we could do for it. I love moose. I hate seeing them that. Nobody wants to see that shit. And the freaking calf's like 20 yards away the whole time I'm doing this watching.
Right now. Yeah.
It's a last year's calf. Luckily, it wasn't like a this year's calf. So
yeah,
the calf's going to be fine.
Yep.
Totally fine. But I just felt bad. She's 20 yards away watching me trying to help mom get up.
Yep.
So I'm like, this isn't working. She's definitely not going to recover from this, not going to be able to get her up.
Yeah.
I hike out probably a quarter mile to get to a little spot of cell service that we knew we had. And I call Fish and Wildlife, whatever it is. And then they ended up, you're on the phone with a dispatcher and they send you this link and you can like live stream your situation to the dispatch.
That's kind of cool.
I didn't have enough service. So luckily I had a couple pictures and I saved the OnX pin.
Yep.
And you like upload all your pictures and your pins and coordinates to this little like web link they send
you. That's really cool.
And then got off the phone with her and she's like, okay, I'll get in touch with the warden or whatever. And he'll probably reach out to you, follow up with you. So I did that. And then I kind of went hunting. I was like, all right, sorry, mama. Like
the
warden's coming.
Did
everything I could.
If it was legal for you to dispatch her, you probably would have.
Yeah,
just to put her out of her misery.
Seeing that stuff. So I kind of hunted.
Like, you guys took off, and then
we hunted that mountain after that.
Oh, you did? Oh, that's right.
It was kind of a quick hunt
at
that point. We didn't have a ton of time, and the wind was blowing. It was freezing. Hunted that mountain, didn't end up kicking anything off.
Yep.
Saw some more buck sign, but
I came out of my nightmare hike there, and I was headed down the road and I actually met the warden.
Yeah, he was coming right up to that. That was just after we got out of there and left, met up with Grant.
His theory was that he maybe has seen it before. It is theorizing that those bulls are so freaking big. He goes, sometimes when they're mounting the cows or something, if they get rough with them, they could break a hip or something when they jump on them.
Which I've seen on like dairy farms where a cow like split its hips.
Yep.
You know, and then they can't walk and then they're done for. So I almost wonder if it was something like that, like a bull hopped on her, split her hips or
definitely wasn't ticks. I mean, it's not the time of year when they're dying of ticks.
One of the cleanest cows I've ever seen. Big cow. She had to be 600-700 pounds. It's a huge cow, healthy, beautiful animal.
But that kind of killed that spot.
It did. So, yeah.
That wasn't far from my blind either. And I think they just become... I think the coyotes knew they were there, so it was like, I think the deer kind of, that was maybe why it wasn't so productive deer-wise in there.
Yeah, and I thought, because in Vermont, most of the time when you got an injured moose, the warden will come dispatch it, and then they'll like winch onto it, get it out, and they'll donate the meat and stuff, but in Maine, that's not the case. And she was probably only 100 yards off the nearest logging road. Like, you could have, if you had a good winch, you could have hooked onto her, but they have different policy and stuff up there, which is fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I guess the warden came up, dispatched her, and then after that, that just turned into Coyote Alley up there,
big
which
time.
It's all the way it goes. But.
Yeah, but you guys finished the day, did a hunt.
Did a hunt. Yeah, didn't see anything that day.
I made a beeline to camp to get more clothes, which I should keep extra clothes in my truck, which I did after this. But and I had about 2 hours left, and I decided to go, and all my spots are like way in the woods, so I decided to go old school, and I decided to road hunt the rest of the day.
Old school, Greggy?
Yeah, old school. So I got the rifle, got the shotgun, got the orange, headed way up in the mountains, picked a road, and it was snow flurries, wicked. And I didn't really expect to see anything, but headed down that first road, and there's a partridge. So I get out, load my gun, pop it, just like it was meant to be. I'm all pumped up. I said, all right, we got something today.
Yeah.
So then went down the road a little more. I started seeing partridge everywhere. And then next thing you know, there's one right there. I get out. I'm about ready to shoot. The snow flurry from hell comes out of nowhere. And it flew, and I shot and missed it. I was like, man, that snow flurry saved that partridge. But kept seeing them. Didn't see any deer, but I ended up coming up to this one tree where there was like a freaking dozen partridge in it. And I get out, and I'm looking at them, and I'm like, ooh. I said, those two are kind of close together. So I freaking aimed and shot and got two with one shot. And then I was like, oh, man, one more. And I ended up getting one more right before dark. So for the 2 hours, it was a nice little road hunt. Yep. Got a limited partridge.
Little partridge.
Yeah. My wife ended up frying them up and putting them in a nice salad, and it was really good. So I was kind of pumped about that. I was like, geez, there are some spots with no partridge at all.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
Yeah, and there's some spots that are like loaded with them.
Yeah, very weird this year. I mean, usually kind of if it's a good bird year, it seems like they're spread out kind of evenly. Everywhere's got some birds in it. Or if you get a no bird year, there's just nothing around. But this year, it's like complete dead zones for miles and miles and miles of no birds.
Absolutely.
And then you hit these little pockets, and there's like 15 of them
in
this like quarter mile stretch of road.
Yep.
Pretty cool.
So that brings us to day three. Day three was...
Oh, God, this is a shit day for me.
This was not a... So Wednesday, I decided... So the spot we put Grant... he decided he wanted to hunt there, and it's one of them spots where we've researched it.
It's a first
line.
Weak spot.
Yes. It's a first weak spot.
Scrape
and
spot.
And it's just automatic. If you can get in there and you can sit, it's a good spot. But it's torture. It's an hour straight of walking to get out there through the nastiest shit you've ever been in your life. So
thick.
Wednesday I went out there and I got up. There's like a nice big rock that I like to sit on out there. I got up there and I sat all freaking day and didn't see a goddamn thing. Mm-hmm. Another 11-hour day. Mm-hmm. And it came out of the woods that night, and I was just freaking. I wasn't
in
the best of moods.
You were in a bad mood Wednesday night.
It was just kind of like just a lot of sitting.
Yeah.
So, but
you sat Monday all day. And then Wednesday all day, 11 hours just pain and suffering.
Just pain and suffering. And like, you know that there's all that fun to be had on the road that you're sitting in there. But take me through your day Wednesday.
Yeah, Wednesday, we got some snow Tuesday night up in the higher country up Northmore. So I sent it way north up by the border, found a mountain that had some snow on it, parked the truck, had to walk out a ways because they had the road like ditched and rocked right there so you couldn't get past it. Hiked all the way up, started working my way up the mountain, and immediately I'm in just like the worst shit you've ever seen in Maine as far as woods go. If you've hunted Maine, you know what I'm talking about. Thick, freaking soft woods, just crazy shit that you don't want to be in.
Yep.
Hiked halfway up the mountain in that. Get a little bit of relief, get up on a bench where I'm starting to get some elevation, get a little bit of hardwood relief there. Immediately right back into the shit. I'm like, eventually this is going to get better. This is a huge mountain. Get up on top, some more of the same stuff. There's probably 3 inches of snow. Haven't seen any sign of life, no deer tracks, nothing. Crawl my way through the top of this mountain, and this top of this mountain is just thicker than hell, too. Just bad. For hours. I was just in the worst stuff for hours, and I could not get out of it.
Yep.
Hunted all the way down through there, and eventually it kind of saddles with a mountain that we've hunted in the past.
Yep.
Where we put cameras there 2 years ago, and we're just letting them soak. So I'm like, I'm going to bridge this little saddle and then get over onto the mountain that we've hunted before. So go through this nasty ledge saddle thing that's about vertical on each side of it. Get onto the top of the other mountain. The top of that mountain's thick, but our cameras were just over the edge from the top, and it's good, decent woods. If you're on the game trails, it's great. If you're not on the game trails, it's horrible. So like you want to be following an animal when you're going up that mountain that we had cameras on.
Yep.
Pulled all those cameras.
Had snow.
Yeah. I still hadn't seen a deer track at that point. Pulled all those cameras, hunted down the side of the mountain where we used to be able to get on tracks and see buck sign and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing at all. I almost get back to down to the road, and I see my first deer tracks, just a little doe had gone through the top of this cut.
Yeah.
Nothing, obviously, I'm going to do anything with. Hunted all the way down through the cut, down through this bottom, into another cut, dropped down through some hardwoods, hit the river, and then got onto the road, back onto the road where I parked, and that was it for the day. That was a whole day I spent up there crawling through brush, and it was horrible.
Wow.
But yeah, Wednesday was tough. You didn't see any deer. I didn't see any deer. Grant, I don't think, saw any deer that night.
Grant did a lot of exploring. I think the rest of the week, Grant was just kind of popping in and out, exploring different places. But it was a trailer park boy, Coors Light night. We were
in the Pain Cave that night.
We were in the Pain Cave. You always think that, we did so much scouting this year, and you think that it's just going to come together. And Maine has a good way of just kicking you right in the you-know-whats and just saying, look, this is such a huge woods. If you might have these deer pattern, but their pattern's a week pattern. It ain't a day pattern.
Yeah.
You might sit there days without seeing anything.
Well, so you and I are talking, too. I say this, hunting up there in Maine is such a slow burn, I feel like. Yep. It's either a slow burn or it's a shot of lightning. You hear guys, I walked in the woods 30 yards and this deer was coming at me.
Yep.
Or it's I was up there in the Pain Cave for 2 weeks and hunting every day and saw one deer and then finally shot one. Seems like it's one or the other.
Yeah.
It's a slow burn. It seems like it's always a slow burn for us for the most part.
It sure is. So,
but
there was some snow in the forecast that night and we were both kind of excited, and we woke up the next morning and lo and behold, we knew there was snow north of us. So,
So we were supposed to get snow even down low by camp, but,
that didn't really happen.
Big surprise there. Weatherman wrong again. Yeah. So there's no snow. It was just wet sloppiness down close to camp.
Yeah.
So you and I were both we're going to head north. You're going to go. We kind of had the same plan.
We were going into the same chunk, but we didn't know.
So was everybody else.
Up. Yeah.
And,
So
you left, we left camp at the same time. I think you left just before me. I had to get gas or whatever. Start heading north, 'cause that's where all the snow is, up by the border up there. And there's just freaking hunting rigs. I'll say that this year in our area, the most people I've seen.
Yeah, absolutely.
Totally.
Absolutely.
Definitely the most people I've seen.
Yeah.
So we're heading north. You got up there before I did. You were already out there. And I'm in a line. I get behind this slow, older guy that was hunting. He had an orange hat on, a little single cab Chevy, just an older dude. He's going 40 up the blacktop. And this is a road you can do 65 on, no problem at all. Yeah. Log trucks are doing 80 down this thing, screaming.
Yeah.
And stuck behind him doing 40. For miles. There's no good spot to pass. So with everybody in town, next thing I know, I got a line of trucks behind me. And I look at my rear view and I can see orange hats in just about every rig.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, everybody's kind of got the same idea here. I hope they're all not going to where we're going.
Yeah.
Get in the line. I'm the second in, and we're approaching the road. I flick my blinker on to turn right. And every truck behind me has their blinker on to turn right, and the old guy in front of me. So I flick my blinker off. I'm like, I'm not doing that. So I go past the turn, and it was like synchronized swimmers, every truck right behind each other going onto this road. So there's five trucks out of this line of six trucks, five of them are going up this road.
Oh my God.
I'm like, oh man, this is going to be a bad day. Because all the snow's concentrated up north there, because it's the only place that had elevation up in the snow belt there.
Yep.
And I'm like, I'm just going to go. I'm going to strike off somewhere. I'm just going to find a road to go down. It's got some elevation.
Before you get into your story, which is interesting, I'll just say.
Yeah, I'm talking too much.
My day. No, you're not. I just say, I drove around, ended up driving around in there for 3 hours. There was no stone unturned. I couldn't find a track. I ended up going up into the spot where we used to have a camera years ago where there was some pretty good bucks. And the wind was horrendous. I got out. I did a giant loop. Never found a track. Got back to the rig and realized the reason I didn't find a track is because my tracks were already gone from three hours before.
Yeah.
So I was kind of dejected. I came up off the mountain and I almost freaking biffed it into a ditch because it was just all ice road. Mm-hmm. But I got back down and I said, I need to go get back on that freaking scrape, the original scrape, and sit there. I said, what am I doing here? I want to track a buck as bad as anybody, but I had a plan. I got to get back in there. So I made a beeline back down below the snow line, got up in my blind, and I almost got to the blind. I see my scrape had been opened up. And last year, if you remember, twice I was there, checked the camera left, and then huge bucks came through.
Yep.
So immediately I started getting sick to my, that whole sick to my stomach feeling came back. And I'm like, oh my God, I just frigged up. Checked the camera. And it was a hunter had been in there and opened the scrape up. It wasn't
just tore
a deer.
It up. Just opened it up.
All that was in there was a hunter. So I was like, phew.
Yeah.
So I spent the next 4 hours sitting in there for nothing, and I decided that was the end of that blind. So anyways, that was my day. Take it from there for you.
Yeah, so I drove past where all the trucks were turning up. I'm like, I'm just going to go up, pick a different road, get up some elevation and go. Get up on that road immediately, rig. You can tell it's been a highway. Everybody's been up there.
Yep.
Kind of going up the mountain. Come around a corner, I see a truck in front of me, And I'm like, God, like you just, everything was getting mauled that day.
Yep. Yep.
Which I understand. Everybody wants to track a buck, of course. So I find this little shitty scrub trail off to the right side that someone hadn't driven down. I looked at it on X. It's pretty rough, but I'm like, I think I can get a truck out there.
Yep.
Whip the truck out there, get some guide stripes on the truck, get all the way to the end of it. And I'm like, the way this mountain sets up, where I kind of was, it takes me about halfway up the mountain away from the cuts. And the road that I wanted to stay on goes up and parks you well below some cuts. And these are huge cuts.
Yep.
That are like just past prime, I would say. They used to be better the last few years, but it's kind of drying up as far as deer goes. But there's still deer in the area. So I'm like, if I can get up, park here, and then shoot up the mountain, do a big swing up around, get above the cuts in case anybody's coming up through looking for tracks and they kick them up,
yep,
I'll be in the game. Get up. As soon as I get to the top of the cut, right at the top of the mountain up there, I got a buck track coming right off the top, right down through the middle of the cuts. And a decent-sized buck, not huge, good-sized track on him. And I'm following him down through the cut. He's zigzagging, feeding a little bit, laying scrapes down, rubbing a couple of trees here and there. But he can tell he's on a mission straight to the bottom. And
smoking fresh?
I would say it was within the last couple hours because it was snowing pretty good. Yeah. It did have some snow in it when I started it.
Yep.
But he was headed right down towards the bottom, which kind of worried me because the lower you got, the snow kind of dissipated quick.
Yep.
Up high, there was probably 3-4 inches. Down at the bottom where I parked, there's probably one. But where he was going to the bottom.
Yep.
So I took him down into this bottom. And he proceeded to lay probably 25 or 30 scrapes down into this, wow, in this little river bottom. Every overhanging limb, he freaking laid a scrape. And I freshened him up wicked down there. I could see where he bedded. He got up out of his bed and just immediately laying scrape after scrape after scrape. And yep, I'm like, right down in this bottom. But he's kind of heading towards the road.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, maybe he's still right in here. If he hears all these truck traffic, he didn't cross the road. So he takes me down through this bottom. He's zigzagging, laying scrapes everywhere. I'm kind of creeping, expecting him to see him right here because there's no snow in the track. And it just kind of barely stopped snowing with the wind, too, blowing stuff in. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, after he lays a bunch of scrape down, he decides bangs a hard right and is going straight up the hill towards the road where everybody'd been.
Yep.
I'm like, that ain't good. Follow him up, get him into the road. He starts walking down the middle of the road, and then he dives right. And right as he dives right, I look up, and I see there's a white truck parked in the little pull-off right there. Oh. And sure enough, here comes the hunter's boot tracks, got on him, and took him up the mountain.
Oh.
So I get cut off there, but that's the way it goes.
Yeah.
Nice.
It happens.
Yep. So left him, walked maybe 50 yards down the road around the corner, and there's a guy coming out of the woods down there. He was parked. He was just up checking the mountain.
Yep.
And I'm like, oh, I just got cut off right there. I was talking to the guy, real nice guy. He had a stagger jacket on.
No shit.
Shooting shit with him. Yep. Real nice dude. And we were kind of talking about the woods, and he kind of hunted up there for a while, and he kind of concurred that it's been drying up a little bit, ain't as good as it used to be up there, but there's still deer.
Just before I almost took a guy out with a stagger jacket. I decided I needed some beer for the truck in case we got one.
Yeah.
And so I got a 12-pack. It was like the middle of the day. I came out of the beer cooler and about blew a guy right over. And I was like, Jesus, I'm sorry. And he was stagger head to toe, so I don't know who the guy was, but it was funny. Anyways, keep going.
Yeah, and I was talking to him for a little while and then hiked back down to the truck. And at this point, I'm like, God, I hate hunting around people. Like, I understand we all want to kill bucks and stuff, but I don't like being around people. So I looked on X. I'm doing some e-scouting. And up in Maine, for the most part, there's roads everywhere. That's kind of the biggest difference, I feel like, hunting Vermont and New Hampshire and New York compared to Maine is, like, with all the logging road access and stuff, there's nothing that, like, you can't get pretty close to from the road.
Yeah.
So I'm looking around, just trying to find something that's completely separated that you cannot get a rig to. Find a spot. You got to park at, like, this camp area thing, and you got to hike out a ways. There's, like, this hiking trail that takes you way, way out, and these are all, like, uncut mountains that haven't been messed with. So I park the truck there. Hike all the way out, and there's no snow low because this is kind of low where you come in. But as soon as you start going up the mountain, I got into some snow quick. Hunted all the way up through there, doing big swings. Snow got better and better. Cut some doe tracks, cut another set of doe tracks. Get up towards the top of this mountain. There is a cut towards the top of this mountain. Went all the way through the cut, went to the top of the mountain, see if any buck been through there. Nothing at all.
Yep.
Swing back down through the cut.
You make it sound so easy. You're what, on mile 15 right now?
I was cooking that day.
Jesus.
But it went to the top, came back down through the cut, checked the other side of the cut, see if there's any tracks, nothing. Start going back down, I don't know, I'm probably a mile from where I had just come up through, but kind of just doing another swing.
Yep.
Cut a doe track, and then with it, there's another track. And I'm like, and these are pretty fresh because it's snowing again. And I'm like, this is a real fresh track, but they didn't look big. Didn't look big at all. It looked like two big does.
Okay.
So I'm following them. I'm like, I'm just going to follow them because they're kind of heading back the direction of the truck. I was going to swing back down the truck and go somewhere else. Start following them. and I see one of the deer's feeding. It's a doe. There's no tine marks or nothing else.
Yep.
Feeding around. They're feeding heavy. And then finally, the other deer starts to feed. And they're just like nipping ferns and buds and stuff.
Yep.
And I thought this was two big does. I look in the little snow around where this thing had just ripped a fern out of the ground. There's just freaking tine marks galore all around this thing. I'm like, what is going on? I'm like, in the video, I'm like, holy shit, this is a buck.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't sure. I was like, I think it's just a couple doe. Didn't have a big foot, but the freaking tine marks are like 18, 19 inches wide around this fern, and it's just mauled with tine. I'm like, holy shit, okay.
Yeah.
And these tracks are fresh, so I start creeping, and it's in a, like a moose hobble hellhole. They kind of stop feeding, and they start working along the side of this mountain. It's just like, you get in those woods that just has moose hobble up to your eyes, and it's just nonstop.
Yeah.
I'm like, in the video, I'm like, there's no way I'm going to be able to catch these things.
Yeah.
But they're feeding their way through, and then all of a sudden, they kind of like banged a hard left. That didn't really match what they were doing. And I'm like, these things are going to bed down right here. Sure enough, I go probably another 100 yards and I see a doe flick up, and then immediately right behind her, here's a buck coming out of a bed, bounding, freaking rack, which I got good video of. I can't show you guys all that.
Yep.
But he's like probably 40 yards. He's right behind the doe. But like, again, it's this moose hobble hellhole, and they're running down the mountain. So I just put it on him, squeezed, and I couldn't get one through the brush.
Yep.
So missed him, or hip brush, whatever it was.
Yep.
Proceeded to go down, and they split. He went right, she went left, and it took me a minute to figure out because their tracks aren't that different. He doesn't have a big foot, but he had a wicked rack on him.
Yeah.
So get on him, follow him for another 6 miles, and he kind of was dumb for a little while. He kept trying to do little half loops to come back to that doe, and I was expecting him to come back around, but he never did. He kind of would straighten out, get his sense a little bit, and he'd start running again, and then he'd start walking and stopping like he's waiting for me to come.
You were trucking right on him.
Yeah, I was trying to catch him, and ended up taking him up, and he goes almost all the way back up to the top of the mountain where I was before.
Yeah.
And we're going straight up towards the top, and he bangs like literally like a 90-degree angle perfect, and like heading right to the top.
Yep.
I'm like, okay, he's going to be sitting up there waiting for me. Or I don't even think he knew I was behind him, but he's going to go up there, bed, let things calm down, and then probably drop back down to that doe.
Yep.
So I'm going to loop all the way around him, try to get around this top and try to, you know, get him from the other side. Loop all the way around to a big swing, about a 600-yard swing, and I'm, like, trying to close the circle on where I left him to see, like, okay, is he still in this pocket or leave? And I get almost to where I freaking left the track before, and he just had gone through there. I just missed him.
Ugh.
Almost closed the circle on him. I was so excited. I'm like, he's going to be right here. Yeah. I'm going to be able to go right in here and smack him. He just come out of there. As soon as he just come out of there, I kind of follow him up, and we're probably about 100 feet below the top, so we're, like, 3,500, 3,600. It's a big mountain, 3,700 foot mountain.
Yep.
And it's like almost vertical, steep, kind of thick, but like rolling green growth with like open lanes and stuff through it.
Yep.
Creeping through there, and we're just down below the top, and all of a sudden, I catch a flick out of the left of my eye here, and that son of a bitch was coming out from a behind a boulder. He was hidden well behind this boulder, like 15 yards.
Yep.
So I have my gun at my waist, pull it up, and by the time, because it's so steep, he's making wicked ground, because one bound and you're making like 20 feet because it's so steep. He comes out behind a tree and I can just freaking rack. So I pull up and I had one good gap and I shot, and that was all, because as soon as after I shot, it was like straight down. He was gone.
Yeah.
I'm like, and I get over there and I got a couple specks of blood and some hair. I'm like, oh good, I hit him. Long story short, ended up following him a ways. I'd get like one or two specks of blood for every bound for about 500, 600 yards. He's heading straight down the mountain, Mach 7, like unfazed. Oh my God, I just grazed him, followed him all the way down, hit a skid trail, and he was nonstop bounding for like a mile.
Wow.
I'm like, this deer is completely fine. Followed him all the way till dark, pretty much.
Yeah.
About 30 minutes before dark, and he was starting to loop back towards the doe. I'm like, this deer is completely fine.
Yep.
And I'll just come back in and get another day. So
Yep.
I drop out of the snow, get down to the bottom where that hiking trail I access on, freaking see a partridge. In the strutting in the trail, like 100 yards up, I see a partridge strutting in the hiking trail. And I'm like, I'm going to shoot this son of a bitch. Turn the camera on. Walk down there. That partridge goes off the left side of the trail and takes off. And I'm sitting there like, oh, dang, whatever.
Yeah.
Next thing I know, here comes another one strutting out of the ditch to the right. I'm like, that's a bad idea. Like 10 yards with a peep gun. Flick the safety off. I'm like, bad day to be a partridge. Boom, blow the ground up next to him. He takes off. I'm like, all right, I'm done shooting at shit for the day.
Yeah.
And that was my Thursday.
In the video, you see right before that buck blows out of there, you just put your head down for a split second to look at the track, And I think that timing. That was the difference to getting that deer and not. Because it was just bad timing.
In that hole he came out of.
Because you would have got him a second earlier in that big hole.
Mm-hmm.
And that sucks, man. That deer doesn't know how lucky he is.
He got lucky because that's on me. Because what I was doing, because it was so thick and I'm like, oh, he's going to be right here. I would go about 50 yards and I would stop just for a second and like look at the track real quick, see where he's going.
Yeah.
And then I would just be heads up looking. Yep. And it was just that half a second to a second where I'm looking down, getting the line of tracks that he comes barreling out of there. Because if I would have seen him with my head up, he's 15 yards on this little ledge right here. I would have been able to flatten him all the way down. But by the time I picked my head up and he was a couple bounds, it was starting to go off the side of the mountain.
So you got lucky twice. The deer earlier in the week got lucky because if you would have gone the way you were originally intending,
if I would have gone up the funnel,
you would have had his ass.
Yeah.
Because you went up to check those scrapes out. So you were like millimeters from getting a deer.
Yeah, just a couple of wrong decisions away from getting one. But
and you don't know. It's like freaking, it's just you got to connect with them at the right point.
And it got incredible video of that buck too.
Oh, yeah,
That's going to be a tracking video of itself. Like he was just a big, heavy chocolate horned 8-pointer.
Yep.
You can see him clear as day, 15 yards coming out behind this boulder, just freaking rack.
Yeah. Meanwhile, you had got a text out to your parents that you had hit one. And me and Grant had not heard from you all day. So we're at camp, like panicking. We're like, where is he? Like, we don't know where you are. We have no idea. And there's no service up there. So we're getting ready to go out and look for you, do a rescue mission. But then you showed up at camp.
Yeah, I got back late.
Yeah.
And that was one of the longer days I had in the woods. I had just over 19 miles that day. I was flying through the woods, but I had the energy and I was going, trying to catch him. He was going hard. And,
You weren't puking at camp or nothing. You were all right.
I was just tired that day. That was a long freaking day.
And that's part of the reason we had good intentions of doing a podcast at the camp, but we were freaking exhausted every night. It's like you don't want to do them when you're exhausted either because they don't come out good. And so like we just every night we're like, well, tomorrow we'll do it. Tomorrow we'll do it. And then the next thing you know, it's time to go home. But I was in. So you were kind of down in the dumps that night. I got back to camp and I was a little pissy. I was in a mode.
Yeah, you were. That's how I would,
locked in.
I would put it like that. You were in, I wouldn't say you were in a bad mood, but you were in a serious mood and you hadn't seen a deer all week at this point.
Yep.
You were just kind of in that, you were in a phase. I don't know what I'm trying to put it at.
I went through my whole truck. I went through my whole room. I organized everything to the nth degree.
You weren't socializing with Grant and I that night at camp. You were in your, like I said, you're in your own little world that night, your own little bubble.
I had a feeling, and I told Grant that night, I said, are you going back to that scrape? Because if you're not, I'm sitting there every friggin' day until I get
you literally
here.
Said that.
Yeah, I'm sitting there all day. Because we do have a cell cam in there. With the pictures, they come after dark or whatever. And we were getting does and stuff. And I'm like, I'm sitting in there every friggin' day from now till
it's going to if you, like you said, we knew if you lock in there for a week straight, you're going to kill a buck.
And we got really good bucks in there too.
Uh-huh.
Really good bucks. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing wrong with sitting in there. It's a little, it's not up in the big mountains, but it's a good spot. So next morning I get up, and I don't know what you did that day. What did you end
up doing? I kind of had a rehabilitation day that from doing 19 the day before.
Well, you had a lot of work to catch up on too.
Yeah, so I had to get caught up on work stuff. First 3 hours of the morning, I just did emails and customer service stuff and all that.
Grant went riding
you guys
around,
went. Yeah, he went. He said he was just going to strike off, check some new woods, and you were heading back out to sit on that scrape.
Oh, yeah. So I got there, and I hunted my way out. It was about an hour out. Once you get through this really nasty old cut, you start seeing scrapes, and that's when I started laying down the old pee drag.
Mm-hmm.
And I did a piss drag probably 500-ish yards.
And these are scrapes that, when you were in there a couple days before, weren't opened up. Yeah.
No. You could tell a couple of them have been messed with. But so I was putting deer urine in every scrape. I was spraying my boots down. I was doing the drag. And I got all the way to where I wanted to sit. And I've been fooling with GoPros this year. So I got the GoPros with the battery pack. So they'll last all day.
Yep.
And in that spot, there's just an old logging trail pretty much. And the deer, they go path of least resistance. So I'm like, I'm putting a GoPro on this side of the trail. I'm putting one on this side.
Mm-hmm.
And my scrape that I sit on is right in the middle. So I get in there and I'm sitting and of course you get all sweated up getting in there and I'm too dumb to not put my stuff on when I get there. So I get in there and sit and shit, 9 o'clock, it's 10 o'clock, it's getting towards 10:30. And next thing you know, I'm sitting there and I'm like, I'm still pretty, I was prepared to sit there all freaking day. And I look to my left and I see a little bit of brown coming, I saw the belly coming of a deer. And then it comes a little further. I get my gun up and I see rack And I'm instantly thinking this is a giant buck. Like, it looked like in the scope, it looked like a big rack.
There's been some big bucks in there.
Yeah. And I'm just getting flashes of the rack and I'm like, oh my God, here we go. Uh-huh. In my defense, anything, I was still not going to shoot a small buck, but anything with like a basket rack, I was going to shoot.
You went 4 days without seeing a deer up there. The standards are dropping for all of us pretty quick.
And I think you guys were trying to get my standards to drop because you guys were, whoa, spike today. You were trying to plant seeds in my head.
I was down to a small forky that day.
So the thing's coming. In the back of my mind, I'm thinking, oh my God, that GoPro's right there. It's going to get perfect footage. So I could have shot him at one point and I waited. And as he came through this big opening, I had a perfect shot. I mean, you're talking, what, 40 yards?
Maybe not even.
Yeah.
40 yards, yeah.
And when he came through that opening, I put it on his shoulder and touched it off. Boom. And he dropped there like a rock. And I had that new 308 from Performance Shooting there. Yeah. And I wanted, like, hell to shoot again, but he dropped right in his tracks. So I ran up, and I got flopped off the rock there, and I ran up to the deer, and he was dead as could be. And he was one of the bucks we had this summer. He had a little drop tine on him, seven-pointer. Not the biggest buck in the world, but I'll tell you, I was pumped.
And oh,
nice
yeah.
buck. I mean, I don't think that's a buck. If you see it quick in the woods, I don't think anybody's going to him up.
Nice frame to him.
Yep, so super pumped. Checked the footage. Got him walking right down the trail. He walks
crazy
by the
footage.
Yeah, I mean, this footage is going to be really good on a video. Yeah. I mean, he walks by. We got the shot. Everything got
right in front of the GoPro.
Yeah, two angles of the shot, and it was just freaking sweet. If you're not going to kill a 200 pounder, at least get good footage, right? So got you guys on the horn, and
yeah, you got Grant on the horn before I did because I was kind of out at that point. I finished my work and I was out checking some new spots, and I didn't have any service. And then I left that spot and got service. It was probably a good half hour after you'd killed that deer.
Yeah. And we have this code. Me and my buddy, Matt and Shane, we have this code that we do every year. We send a certain picture if we get a deer, and then everybody's like, ooh, what is it? Well, we have a picture we send. It's Mel Gibson's back in the 80s holding a cigarette with like a
he's
mullet.
He's got a little smirk with a mullet on.
He looks like an old lesbian.
Yeah, if you guys want to see that, shoot us a message. We'll send that to you.
When you see Mel Gibson, you know a deer is dead or
dying. That's
a
dead deer.
Yeah. So you guys are flipping out.
Oh, yeah, I'm fired up.
I'm like, what do I do? I don't know what to do. I'm just walking around in circles. And this was 30-plus hours of sitting coming into it right here. And it was Friday. And next thing I know, Grant comes running down the trail. And then a little while later, you come. I think you ran the whole way.
Pretty much.
Oh, my God. And you guys showed up, and we got it dressed, and we did a bunch of video and stuff and dragged it out. It was a bad drag, but you guys were dragging it faster than I could walk. So, I mean, it was.
That's good. That's why you hunt with buddies, though, having people to help get deer out of the woods is such a help.
Yeah, that was awesome. So we got to the rig and we had a little celebratory bush light.
Yep, because you couldn't get Coors.
Couldn't get Coors Light. I had to go with the 80K cowboy model.
Yeah, a little bush latte.
Yeah, and then that was pretty much that day. Yep. That was a hell of a fun day.
That's going to be such an awesome video, though. You did such a good job with the footage.
Oh, I really try, and I really like, I've seen some like on the Outdoor Channel, sometimes like, of course, out there they got big pile of corn and they'll put the camera behind
it
trying to get the
main.
Yeah. But I just kept thinking like, man, if I could get something like that, it would be so freaking cool.
Yeah.
And so I am still trying to do that too. So
and you put your mind to it and you made it happen.
Yep. So
I don't think I've ever seen footage like that come from a main deer hunt.
I don't think so either.
I don't think any main deer hunt's ever been filmed at those angles.
But I realize like I want to track a deer just as bad as anybody, but like I'm really good at patterning deer and sitting and being patient. So like, I'm like, why don't I just do what I'm good at?
You
got
to hunt the conditions. So you're hunting the conditions. We didn't have that great of snow, really. I mean,
no.
That snow that we had Thursday when I had enough for tracking, it was quickly fading out.
Yeah.
Because by the weekend, there was hardly any snow unless
we're
way up high.
For sure. So
you had to hunt the conditions.
But it was awesome. Anyways, we had a fun day.
Hell of a night. We went to the tavern.
We went to the tavern, had a nice steak. And, that was the end of that. And the next morning we got up and we kind of all went our separate ways. You went hunting.
Yeah, I said, I'm going to go up and check an area.
Yep.
And
Grant went home.
Grant immediately loaded up. He went home. He said he's going to road hunt his way back.
Yep.
He saw a wicked buck from the road crossing the blacktop.
He did. Yep. And then I had a camera that I've been wanting to get for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm never tagged out, so I never get it. It's up on top of this mountain, and it's just strictly a moose camera. So I went up there with the shotgun, and I saw a nice bull on the way up, and I had a goal. I said, I'm gonna find a shed, I'm going to shoot a partridge, and I'm going to get my camera. Well, I only got one out of three, but I got to my camera, and some jack wagon has spun it around and wiped my card clean.
Yep.
I'm like, Jesus. Well, I was just
from like September, right?
When
people start looking for moose.
So many scouting for moose. So it's like, Jesus Christ. Like, I'm just trying to get.
Gotta watch out for the moose guys, man. They freaking, that's.
It's toxic.
They fight to the death, the freaking moose guys.
I just want to get a pretty picture of a moose. Leave me alone.
Yeah, you're just doing it just this, yeah, just like, for, because you love doing trail cam stuff.
Yeah, I'm no intention anybody of ever hunting
Greg,
up there.
Just like Greg loves doing trail cams, getting pictures of, yep. He gets all sorts of cool stuff. But
speaking of that, you got one of the most incredible videos I've ever seen of a pine marten.
Yeah, that was one of the three cameras I pulled off the mountain on that first tracking day in the shithole mountain there. Yeah.
Big, like a beautiful light red thing.
Beautiful.
It's dancing right in front of the camera.
Yeah, because there's so much snow up on, this was like in the middle of winter,
yep.
And there's so much snow that the snow literally got up to like the lens level of the camera. So you get all these squirrels and these freaking pine martens walking broadside at like 3 feet in front of the camera.
Unreal.
Gorgeous animals.
At one point, a moose laid down in front of that, and you could just, it just was during a blizzard, and the moose slowly got covered in snow, and you just feel like, imagine the life that they
it's
got.
It's incredible they can survive.
And the moose doesn't look particularly uncomfortable, just sitting there kind of chilling.
They love it.
But, yeah.
Well, I mean, you have a good analogy about the life cycle of a moose.
Yeah. Oh, they go from getting eaten to shit by ticks all winter long and get eaten by bugs all summer long. They get like a 2 week window where everything's great. They're trying to get laid.
No bugs.
Yeah. They're trying to get laid. And we're out trying to kill them. And right after that, life gets to shit again.
Yeah.
So
it goes right back into
the one time of year where they got
a little
shit
bit of peace.
That's going good. It's like bad. So, but I cut my deer up last night and there was hardly any fat on it.
Really?
And I was thinking though, like what for some of these bucks up here, up in Maine, like there's no real incentive to get a lot of body fat because they know in 3-4 weeks you're just going to go hit the feed bag
yard.
In town, you know.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's a thing or not, but it didn't have a lot of fat, but it definitely was not rutting either.
Mm-hmm.
So who the
God,
hell
I wish we could do feed deer
in Vermont
like we could.
Oh, yeah.
Maine, we'd have such a better population and healthier herd than we do.
And the studies, it's all about chronic wasting disease in this.
Yeah,
in this, that's all just freaking, I mean, they've this kind of, but anyways.
Well, yeah, we don't need to get into the biology bullshit.
So that was the end of week one.
Yeah, hell of a week.
Hell of a week. So we got two does down and a nice buck down.
Yep.
And I headed back.
Having a good time.
Headed back to Vermont and we haven't even gotten into the good stuff yet.
Well, we're in. That is good stuff.
No,
what are you talking
we
about?
Got some real good stuff coming.
We'll save that for the next episode.
Save that for the
this
next
episode. This is a
long
one. We're already at hour and 12 minutes right now.
Yeah.
So.
Well, we had a lot to cover. The next one, we'll talk about Adam's buck.
Yeah. And hope maybe, yeah, we'll do that. All right.
Definitely.
All right, we'll cut it off here. But thank you guys for tuning in. And that's our first week of Maine Deer Camp, plus the Vermont Muzzleloader Doe. So, appreciate you guys. Take care.
Thanks, everybody.
You're listening to Stagger Cast, brought to you by Stagger Gear.
Yeah.